mean, I know at 18 I wanted to be an actress, but I also thought maybe I wanted to be a lawyer or maybe I wanted to do something with English. So I went to school and started out as an English major and then transferred into a theater major. And then I ended up just quitting school and moving to New York. So, you know, I think that maybe even that is convoluted. And I knew I wanted to be an actor. But then, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people know what they want to be. And then even if they do choose a career, how long do they stick with it until they decide, oh, actually, this isn't the career for me. Now I'm going to change paths.
That's Renee Berna. And this is the I Wish They Taught That in School podcast. Hi, everybody, and welcome to I Wish They Taught That in School, a podcast where I answer your questions about love, money, health, and life. I'm Dr. Mike Mulick. I'm a doctor that takes care of young children. I've been all around the world. I've visited over 60 countries and pretty much try everything from speaking Thai, Sawat Di Kap, playing my guitar, or just learning what makes people happy. I have a guest today. I would like to introduce Renee Berna, who is a professional actor, singer, and entrepreneur. She's been on Broadway, done 2 national Broadway tours, hundreds and hundreds of appearances, and been on TV's Bold and the Beautiful, and has done a national commercial for Dan and Yogurt. Renee, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So on this show, I will just answer questions from students. I've met thousands of different students, and recently I was out in Colorado, and I had met a lot of students, and I asked them to fill out some questions. And so we're just going to jump right into some questions. So this first question is from Cassidy in the Denver area. And she asks, how are we supposed to choose a career path at 18? What do you think about that, Renee?
I don't know if anyone chooses their career path at 18. I mean, I think some people have, maybe there are some people, and I think probably it's a small percentage of people who actually know exactly what they want. I mean, I know at 18 I wanted to be an actress, but I also thought maybe I wanted to be a lawyer or maybe I wanted to do something with English. So I went to school and started out as an English major and then transferred into a theater major. And then I ended up just quitting school and moving to New York. So, you know, I think that maybe even that is convoluted. And I knew I wanted to be an actor. But then, I don't know, I don't think a lot of people know what they want to be. And then even if they do choose a career, how long do they stick with it until they decide, oh, actually, this isn't the career for me, now I'm going to change paths.
Yeah, it seems like it's an awful lot of pressure on people to just feel like they have to decide their rest of their life. And I can tell you from my experience that I think it's a bunch of, I don't know, baloney, I guess. We got to keep it clean here.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, you know, silly and frustrating at age 14, at age 18, even 25 and even 35. And I think that I'm still thinking about maybe trying new things. So, I think that, you know, from my experience, I thought maybe a little bit part of me I wanted to pursue medicine, but I never really knew for sure. And I think what you have to do is you have to maybe pick something for at least a couple of years, but you can always change. Do you think that that's true? You believe
Yeah.
You can always change?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, this is an entirely different subject, but some people get themselves into schools where they're going to accumulate a lot of debt quickly, and then you get out of school and then you feel the pressure to perform, to find a job that's going to make you money, that's going to pay for that debt. So, I mean, that's maybe another discussion, but I don't think that, I think it's very hard to determine what you're going to want to do the rest of your life, but I think that you're right. You just, you do have to just kind of choose something and try it for a while, or maybe volunteer for a year or so and get some life experience.
Yeah, I think that you do have to play the game, but I think that deep down, I think we all know that it's really hard to figure it out, and you may make a mistake, and that's okay. I know a lot of people in medicine that had done something else, and they were better. They were really good doctors because they had done something else, and they were able to combine their talents. So just because if you don't really know, let's just say you wanted to do something and you try it and then you do something else, that time is not lost.
You're saying that the people had different careers and then they decided to go into medicine.
Yeah, I think that they were even better because then they had a chance to really figure it out. And then they thought if they were to do it, maybe that was their second choice and they did a couple years doing something else, then they really had... They were really good because they knew that they were choosing something. So maybe they made a mistake, they did something for a few years, and then they got to something that was maybe better suited for them. By the time they got to that, they were incredible.
Yeah, and then at that point, can you actually call that a mistake?
No, I don't think it's ever a mistake.
Right.
And you can always change. So, you know, I had, when I was in medical school, I started when I was 25 years old. And I had people that were in their 50s starting school with me, and
wow,
they had done something different. So you can always change, and I think that that's important to know. So no, so to summarize, I think you do not have to have it all figured out. You should try to have a plan to do something, but you can always change.
I also I think that just to quickly add in, but I think that sometimes there's a lot of pressure on kids, you know, kids who are going to have the opportunity to go to college, which I know not everyone does, especially because it's getting so expensive. But, you know, parents want their kids to know what they're going to do because they're paying good money to put them through, or the kids are paying, you know, are trying to work their way through school. But I don't think that, you know, should be the, you know, that should determine it. It's like, if you actually need a little time to figure out what you want to go to school for, I think that that's okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of unconventional, but.
No, I mean, I think that's a good point. You bring up the issue of the price of training, and I think that does put a lot of pressure on both the student and the parents. So, you know, but that having been said, that you can still make a mistake and recover from it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, let's see. Let's go to somebody else here. So this is Eli from Colorado, and what he wishes they taught in school was just a basic emotional life skill.
Wow.
What do you think about that? You didn't expect that, did you?
No, I didn't. I mean, I agree with him. Yeah, that sounds great.
I mean, who doesn't need a basic emotional life skill? I mean, life is emotional, and we're emotional creatures. I don't think, I can tell you that when I was in school, all the way up until even after becoming a doctor, I didn't know that there were skills that could be practiced to manage your emotions.
Well, and it's interesting because you go to college and you might take a psychology course that may or may not, you know, teach cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, which actually gives you applicable skills to helping you through life. Or, you know, you may start reading some self-help books or something because you got yourself in a relationship and you're upset or whatever. But I think that it is sad that they don't they don't teach that in school.
Well, now let's unpack that a little bit, because
you kind of dropped it down a lot.
So now you mentioned cognitive behavioral therapy. Now what? Give us an example, or maybe tell us either a little bit about that, because I had never heard that, and I took psychology, and that was never taught to me, both in college and medical school. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that my psychology course in college was basically learning about the history.
Freud.
And we learned about that, and I just didn't, there was nothing practical about it. Maybe there was definitely practical psychology and psychiatry and medical school, but I had never learned cognitive behavioral therapy. So,
right. I guess it's unfair too, because I did end up going back to school and finishing my degree in psychology. So I ended up taking a lot of psychology, and that's where I probably learned it. Probably wasn't in psychology 101, but
okay.
Cognitive behavioral therapy is a set of skills that you can use to work through distortions of thought, right? So one of the, I don't know if you want me, I know you know about this, if you, I don't know, I don't want to take this away from you. If
no, 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 so that's just,
but,
so yeah,
you
so
know,
you're
like
talking about mistakes in thinking.
Yeah, so.
So they're called thinking errors.
Yeah,
what, so. What gives us an example of a real common thing that we, like
happen,
especially in high school, what
yeah,
would be the most
school.
Common, like one common thing that we think of,
Amy,
that we think wrong.
Yeah, Amy hates me.
Okay,
think
Amy.
Amy hates me.
So there's a you have a friend. Let's
my
say you
friend
have a friend
Amy
named,
hates me.
Right
now.
And why would that be? Let's just say that you know for sure. You think you know for sure. Why
I think,
would?
Yeah, I think I know for sure. She looked at me, and it looked like she sneered at me, and she made a mean comment.
Okay. So yeah, I think what you're describing there is mind reading.
Right.
So you don't really. She never really told you.
No.
That she hated you, but you think. Yeah, so that's a great example. Okay, so now what would be, like, what's the skill? Like, how do we, or what's the whole point? I mean, wouldn't we just go talk to her? Or, like, why would we need to
okay.
learn a skill?
Well, yeah, so, and I mean, I think it's important that we're talking about this, because he's actually asking for, you know, I think, did he ask for a life
He said
or?
He wants to know an emotional life skill.
Yeah, okay, great. So, one of the nice things about doing your own work before just approaching someone and coming at them, you know, in a defensive way is that, you know, Amy may not hate me. Amy may have just had a bad day. Amy may have found out that her grandmother died. You know, I don't know any
yeah.
of this stuff. All I know is I felt bad because she maybe sneered at me and maybe said something kind of mean
mm-hmm.
or out of character. So one of the things in cognitive behavioral therapy is you can take out your notebook, you know, draw two lines down the center of a page, and you have three columns.
The triple column technique.
Mm-hmm. So you would put what happened or what the thought was, Amy hates me. And then you would put what the cognitive distortion is, right? And you can look this up. You know,
I actually have a video on my YouTube site.
Oh, you do?
For
okay,
triple
great.
Column.
Okay, so yeah, check out Dr. Mike's YouTube on this. But you'd say, okay, mind reading. And then the third column, you're going to make an argument for yourself, basically, but against the distorted thought. So the argument...
Something more rational.
Right, the rational thought. It might be, you know, Amy and I have been friends for a long time. I'm sure if something was wrong, she'd, you know, with me, she would tell me. You know, maybe I need to find out more information.
Yeah. Well, I think the real value in having a technique like this is that you don't spend the whole day being upset yourself.
Right.
Because you may not get a chance to talk to this friend until maybe the next day, maybe the whole weekend. And you may be mad the whole weekend, and you may come to find out that it was, in fact, something else. And so then, not only did you suffer that whole time, but then you might, I think you had pointed out the first thing was that you might come at them and confront them in a way that would be hostile and it might take you a little longer to sort of get through it. Does that sound
right?
Like
or turn it into an argument that didn't even exist in the first place. And plus, even if Amy was for some reason mad with me, well, then I could just approach it because I've sort of taken the time to, you know, calm down myself, get a little more neutral on the issue. So then I can actually come to her and say, hey, you know, what's going on or what, you know, without all of the weight of, you know, my distorted thought coming behind it, like a freight train, I guess.
There's literally thousands of different examples of
yeah.
thinking errors. And so that's one example of a good technique, which is to practice a triple column technique. We have a video. I have a video on it. You can look it up. And
well, can I say also
yeah.
that's very specific.
That's very specific.
But There are so many books out there. There's so many great things that you can read. I mean, and now we're in the information age. I mean, online, there's a lot of stuff too.
Uh-huh.
But for as far as emotional life skills, I mean, I feel like a lot of the emotional skills that I've gained have been because I've read a lot about, you know, how to help myself through situations emotionally, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of it is difficult because of dealing with other people. And
right.
We humans are social creatures. We want to get along by nature. And so it's difficult when we don't get along. So it's helpful when we all learn skills like this.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other cognitive distortion type of things? What would be like another tool? Something else that's a good life skill for emotion.
I'm never going to get into college.
Ah, okay.
Fortune telling.
Right, fortune telling. This is a good one. Actually, I've read thousands of different questions. And I deal with a lot of students that are trying to get into professional school. And they're frustrated and they're worried about whether or not they get in. So by saying, what is an example of that? If you say, I'm not going to get into medical school or I'm not going to have a good job, that's an example of what?
Fortune telling.
It's fortune telling.
There's
so basically,
no way I could know.
Yeah, there's no way that you, but it's a feeling and it's a worry.
Right.
Okay, so can you do the same thing? Can you do the triple column?
Sure. So that would be, I'd write down the thought, I'm never going to get into school.
Uh-huh.
The second column, I'd write down fortune telling. The third column, how do I know that I am never going to get into school? I'm not in the future right now. I have been getting good grades. You know, the grades.
Well, let me stop you there for a second.
Okay.
I think you're on the right. You're doing great. But let's just say that the student, like, there was something that they were totally fixated on. Like, let's say they did get a bad grade.
Right.
And they don't think their grades are good. That's why they think, or maybe there was something else, some other reason.
Right. Well, I mean, but this can apply to anything. I mean, anyone can still work toward a goal. I mean, just because it's going to might take a little longer because this person might have to do some community college credits or have to beef up their, you know, where they're volunteering, or maybe they're... you know, they need to talk to some teachers about getting their grades up. I mean,
right,
if this is something that's bothering this person who wants to go,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if it's someone who doesn't really want to go to school, then that's the point is moot.
No, I think what you're saying is that it's, don't give yourself two problems when you've already got one.
Right.
So maybe you're not happy about your grades. Don't make yourself miserable over it. You know, maybe there are things you can do. And I can tell you from experience, my grades were not that good in high school and college. And I had to do a few things and I took extra classes. And yes, it did take a little longer, but then I got in and I did really well. Well, let's go back to, let's take another question. This is a question where the student says, is it worth it to have high school relationships?
Hmm. Well, I know you and I have had different experiences in this.
I wanted to date girls and I wanted to kiss girls, but I was too afraid to approach them. And quite frankly, I didn't really like high school. I thought it was really hard and I felt really lonely. And I did have, by the end of it, I had some good friends, but it didn't start off that way. And, I guess I wish that I, you know, knew a few things. But, yeah, tell me what you think. Is it worth it to have high school? I don't know if she means...
romantic.
Does
or...
she mean romantic or does she mean... because relationship can be a friend.
I'm assuming she means romantic.
Right.
I feel like that's what I would have...
Well, let's just... yeah,
we'll think...
we'll
just make that assumption.
Well, it's worth it. I mean, let me just say this. It's always worth it to have relationships. That's what our society and what our human race is built on. And there's longevity studies that show that the more, when you have a couple of really good friends, those people tend to live the longest. So we know for sure that to have friends is extremely important. It's one of the most important things. Now, the question of having...
And that's quantity versus... quality versus quantity, then.
I think so. I think if it was just at least one or two really good, like-minded friends, then they lived the longest. We know for sure that that's what people... That's really important to people their entire life, not just high school and college. In this case, though, I think she was asking about a romantic relationship. Yeah, so what do you think? Is it worth it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's not worth it. I don't think it's completely necessary. I don't think that if you don't have a relationship in high school, then, you know, you're doomed. Or if you do have one, that means you actually know anything more about being in a relationship. I certainly had my share of high school relationships, and I feel like, you know, probably the majority of it, I was just acting out what I saw my parents and other adults in relationships do. You know, I don't know that I was really, it was almost like I was playing out someone else's script of what a relationship should look like.
Right.
And right. I certainly fell in love. I certainly felt some very intense emotions, and you know, that was really cool, especially for me going into acting. I felt like it helped because I had a lot. I did have experience to draw on, you know, already in my early 20s. But do I think that it's necessary? Not particularly. I think you can kind of also get a convoluted
idea. Well, I think it's really, I think it's really tough to say. I mean, I guess it would be really tough for someone to, you know, think that they're not worth it and then therefore not try, because I think we all want to have, you know, most people want to have romantic relationships. I know I did. I wanted to, you know, and I don't know what that would have looked like for me, but I was curious, and I was curious in college, and I didn't really date anyone in college. So, you know, maybe from my perspective, I would say that, you know, it wasn't the end of the world. It was hard to not be able to try something out. I think that if I could go back in time, I think what I might have done differently is just try to maybe work on being a little bit more comfortable with myself, and maybe just having more friends that were girls.
Yeah.
And maybe not be so afraid, and I don't know, I probably wouldn't have worried as much that I was not in a relationship. But I think I spent, maybe like the worst thing was I just spent a lot of time, you know, worrying about it. And I think maybe that's what is probably on the mind of a lot of these students, is that they, you know, for some way or another, you know, they're stressed out about either wanting to be in a relationship, or a relationship is hard for them. What do you think
about
that? Right.
Well, and I'm wondering now too, if I, you know, did I have more fun in the relationship or talking about the relationship with my girlfriends?
Yeah, well, sure.
Right, because I enjoyed hanging out with my friends, too. Yeah. So it's kind of, is it worth it? Sure. And like you said, if it's something that you want, I think that that's great. But I don't think that anyone should feel, you know, pressured if they're not, you know, if they're not worried about it. I don't think they should be feeling pressure from their friends saying you have to be in a relationship, you know. Yeah. these are your high school years or something.
Well, let's take one more question that I think is maybe on the same, it's sort of the same topic, and this is from Arthur, sophomore biology, and he asks, how can I cope with loneliness and waiting for relationships? So I think that's a nice way to sort of tie this all together, which is,
yeah,
you know, because I don't think, I think that I did not like being lonely, and I don't think anybody likes being lonely.
No.
I could say, you know, how do you cope with loneliness? I think it's, it's an opportunity to get to know yourself. I think it's important to have alone time, and it's important to have time with people. And, you know, it's good to be busy and use that free time when you have it. And I think it's good to maybe to work on yourself, and, you know, I don't think that the time spent waiting for a relationship is really going to be that long. What do you think? What's a good way to cope with the loneliness that some people might feel, especially like in high school or college?
I mean, I think you're saying it, which is focus inward, focus on yourself and what you can do to be a happier person by yourself. And I don't say that to say that, you know, focus on yourself because you're going to be lonely or, you know, forever or whatever. Just that, you know, if you focus on yourself and you make yourself happy, you find out what makes you happy, then if you're almost like a magnet. You draw people toward you because it's like the loneliness almost is the reverse and people sort of stay away because and it's a funny thing. I still don't know why exactly that is, but it seems like in times of loneliness, which I've certainly had my share of, I had a choice. You know, I may have spent some of the time just feeling sorry for myself and whatever, watching a lot of TV or eating too much or something like that. But then usually there's a turning point where I just go, okay, you know, I want to focus on myself. I'm going to do something nice for myself. Join a group of runners, or I'm gonna, you know, take myself to the theater, or invite my friends over and make them dinners. That's something I did a lot in New York. I would just have people over, and I'd just be the plate. I just cook for people. Say, come on over. You know, we're gonna. And that was, you know, but I would find it always seemed like a relationship would come along when I was feeling just
really
happy, feeling good about myself.
No, it always does.
And that involved work on my part to get there.
I think that sometimes being lonely or maybe not being in a relationship is up and down. Sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's not. And I know that some of my loneliest times were shortly after or immediately after having a breakup. But I remember one thing that I thought was really cool was a friend of mine from Costa Rica told me, and I don't know if you remember this. There was a movie. I can't remember which movie this was. It's probably from a long time ago, but it was something like "You Complete Me" or something like that. Which
right,
is
Jerry
Maguire. Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah.
So, and this guy he lives in Costa Rica. He told me, no, he's like, you're complete as a single person, and you're complete as a married person. The other person doesn't have to complete you. And I think what's important there is that you can be happy being like alone. And I think you're absolutely right. I remember reading, I read a book called How to Be an Adult in Relationships. And it's it's not the easiest book to read, but it was a book that I read after a breakup. And I remember learning a few things, and I worked on, you know, just making sure I was taking good care of myself. I exercised, I ate well. If I was upset, I wrote things in the journal, or I would talk to people, I would talk to parents, talk to friends, try to flush some of this stuff out. And then, you know, I was really happy all of a sudden. I was happy, I was alone. And I think that people really do see that. And it's almost like it's like that moment when, you know, you're single and you're super happy, and that is very visible. And all of a sudden here comes somebody, and they'll come walking along into your life, and boom, like the next thing you know, you may find yourself in a relationship. So,
well, and you can be lonely in a relationship too. So I think it's important to say that the reason why I think we're talking about working on yourself is that this is something that you would carry through into a relationship too, because you, like you're saying, that person doesn't complete you. I mean, there, you may have ups with that person, but you're also going to have downs, and you also could have a time where that person, you know, it feels like they're distant, and then all of a sudden you're lonely. And again, that self-work is going to be important.
Oh, I think that's a great way to end it. And it's been great talking to you, Renee, and we have been talking about and answering questions from students, and we look forward to doing plenty more like this. So thank you for listening to the I Wish They Taught in School podcast. Thank you, Renee.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Well, what did you guys think? That was the very first episode. I think it went pretty well. You know, I was thinking about Cassidy's question. And, you know, I'm not really sure that we really got into a good answer for her. She really wanted to know how you're supposed to figure it out at 18. And you know what? This is one of the most important questions that we can ask ourselves our entire lives. And what you really have to do is you need to learn how to be an expert on yourself. And you need to figure out your purpose in life. And that's not easy to do. But if you wanted to try to explore a little bit more about learning about your purpose, you can check out a book that I love, Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And if you want to check out a good podcast, there's a podcast by Scott Dinsmore, where he talks about learning how to become a self-expert. And there's a book, another book, called Strength Finder 2.0. So a couple of these things are some actual tools that you can use to try to figure out, you know, what it is that you want to do with your life. And I suggest that you do the best that you can, and you can always change. Remember, it's not just about the end result and being successful. It's not the end goal. It's about the process and the journey. And so you gotta enjoy it. Enjoy every little moment along the way. Go ahead and send me your questions. I'll get to all of them. You can write to me at physiciantravels@gmail.com. That's physiciantravels@gmail.com, physiciantravels. And then you can check out my website, physiciantravels.com. And go ahead and subscribe. I will do basically whatever questions you guys want to know. And look forward to seeing you next time. The information contained in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and do not represent any organization and are not intended as financial advice, diagnosis, treatment, or a substitute for professional medical advice. Please consult a local physician or health care professional for your specific health care or medical needs or concerns.